Welcome to the CRE Podcast, a podcast committed to highlighting the great work across the nation in transforming communities through the power of economic development and the Community Reinvestment Act. I'm Linda Izuka, your host and founder of CRE Today and the CRE Hub. The CRE Hub is an exclusive membership for bankers to master the Community Reinvestment Act and transform lives through the power of economic development. For those of you who are new to me and joining the podcast for the first time, I am very passionate about this community development work and created this podcast to elevate voices and stories around projects and initiatives that inspire me and that move our nation forward in providing opportunities for lower-income individuals and disadvantaged communities in our local markets and where we choose to call home. For this episode of the CRE Podcast, we have a distinct pleasure of learning about the power of a bank's commitment to the CDFI sector. Truist Foundation made a $40 million bet on the CDFI industry. What this type of funding can enable is powerful. You'll hear from the Truist Foundation first, and then we'll learn about Corner Square Community Capital, which is a new CDFI initiative that couldn't be possible if not for this $40 million catalytic investment. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the CRE Podcast.
We'll start the CRE Podcast episode by interviewing Lynette Bell, president of Truist Foundation. Truist Foundation is an organization committed to collaborating with innovative companies and investing in communities to build better lives. In this role, she is responsible for strategic philanthropy, deepening strong partnerships with nonprofits, and strengthening local communities in the area of leadership development, economic mobility, thriving communities, and educational equity. Previously, she served as Enterprise Community Reinvestment Officer for SunTrust, now Truist, leading the community development program to support underserved communities. In her more than 30-year career with SunTrust, she held positions in operations, regulatory affairs, bank examinations, and compliance. Ms. Bell currently serves on the board of directors of Purpose Built Communities, the President's Council for the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, and Living Communities Foundation. Minnie Coyne Bell is a difference maker whose commitment to making lasting change in our communities is truly inspiring. Okay, so Lynette, welcome to the CRE Podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
Of course, my pleasure. So as you know, I introed Truist before on the foundation, but I want to hear a little bit more about this catalytic investment. So given the plethora of options to invest $40 million as a $500 billion bank, what led you to forging such a significant investment in the CDFI sector?
Thank you so much, Linda, for this opportunity to speak. And you know what? One of the things that we realized is as the pandemic came ashore in the United States, even though it was global and worldwide, it really had a lasting effect upon small businesses. And they were the first ones to be impacted very early in the pandemic. We knew that, you know, 41% of businesses, based on some research that we got from other sources, that 41% of businesses were in jeopardy of closures, as well as not reopening even post-pandemic. Yeah. And we knew that they are the cornerstone of our economy and needed that support. And yeah. So at Truist, we were trying to figure out what could we do that was innovative and unique. At Truist, we believe that our purpose, mission, and value to inspire and build better lives and communities has to be applied equally and equitably across all geographies and regions and to individuals. And so one of the things that we clearly wanted to do was to look at how can we support small businesses, particularly yeah. those businesses that employ fewer than 20 employees. Mm-hmm. Banks became very concerned across the nation about how our economy would thrive or be impacted by losses in this sector. So at the foundation or at Truist, we started having conversations with our partners at North Carolina Rural Center to implement a very strategic and innovative program that would support these micro to small businesses and be that conduit that we know CDFIs are often used for. You know, one of the things I would say that was really done well by our government was that establishment through the U.S. Department of Treasury with community development financial institutions. CDFIs really are vital to our economy. They clearly provide a lot of capital, technical support, as well as expertise and coaching in different areas of our economy, and they can have multiple purposes. But we focused in this particular time on CDFIs that we're looking at how do we make a difference to small businesses, particularly those in urban and rural areas of our economy.
Right, right. It's so great. I was talking with several folks recently, and I'm like, this is the year of the CDFI, finally. And then we said, no, this is the decade. This is the decade. It's time, yeah. Right? Right. They're here to stay. We got a lot of work to do.
Exactly. We have a lot of work to do. And we knew that when we talked to North Carolina Rural Center, we knew that CDFIs were the right vehicle, to your point, for us mm-hmm. to create Corner Square Capital, because they would have the ability to, one, provide that technical expertise, create sustainability for small businesses, as well as factor in resiliency once the pandemic had concluded its rage across our country. And right. we knew that they had the financial expertise as well as technical support to get it done and would have that connection because, one, they were already in the marketplace doing a lot of this work. But building right. that bridge to the CDFI sector was really critical to why we thought Corner Square was the right tool to make our direct investment into.
Great. And so there it is. $40 million yep. and ready for impact.
Yeah, $40 million.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Great. Well, I can't wait to hear more about Corner Square's impact as they roll out and implement, but they're off to a great start. So as banks approach this, what advice or guidance might you give to other banks, large and small, as they start to approach CDFIs in their respective markets?
That's a really great question, Linda. I will tell other banks, particularly large banks, to be innovative, to really lean into creating something outside of the norm, something mm-hmm. that has the ability to be scalable and has the agility to be conforming as well as non-conforming. And so when you look outside of those kind of structural constraints and norms to provide the capital to a CDFI like Corner Square to help small businesses overcome the challenges that they were facing and will continue to face post-pandemic, we knew providing them the resources to help rebuild this particular sector was the right investment to make. And we did it in a way that was uniquely qualified. We talked about making the $40 million commitment, but doing it in a way that it would free up capital for those community development financial institutions. And we're using this as a participation, right, to help those institutions provide the support to those micro and small business clients on the end.
Right. So innovation, think outside the box, do non-conforming work and leverage capital is your advice.
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, exactly.
Great. And how about for the smaller banks that are just starting to approach this or the mid-sized banks that are domiciled in certain communities?
Yeah, I would say partnership is really key. When you look at the CDFI sector, one of the things that they do really well is I talk about being a bridge builder, but they are that connecting bridge to the private and public sector, right? And they are engaged in our communities in a way that a small or mid-sized bank won't have the opportunity to be, but they provide the resources and the technical support that a small bank would be constrained to do so because they don't have enough people to run out and provide that kind of on-hand technical support, but a CDFI would. And because they've been so embedded in our communities, they know who the right players are. They know what intersections exist to ensure that access to capital is provided or the technical support and coaching is provided. So to me, that is an ideal partnership Collaboration and partnership is the key to helping those communities and those banks to get really engaged and involved to make a difference.
I love that. We're all bridge builders. Excellent. Well, great. Well, thank you so much. It's just so great to hear that large or small, we have more work to do. You're doing an amazing job with innovation and really getting out there and deploying capital in our disadvantaged communities. So thank you so much for your time today and for all the great work that you're doing.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. And again, you know, our whole purpose is to ensure that we inspire and build better lives and communities. And if our investment inspires other financial institutions to be agile and leverage their capital in a way to ensure that those sectors in this community thrive, then we're excited that we have the opportunity to be an example.
Great words to end with there. Thank you so much, Lynette. All my best to you, and I'll look forward to hearing how all the great partnerships resulted from the Corner Square Community Capital Initiative. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So now we're going to hear from the Corner Square Community Capital team. This is the new nonprofit fund launched to support the CDFI industry and increase small business lending by reducing the lender's risk and increasing their available capital through the purchase of subordinate positions of up to 25% of eligible loans. So let's talk about who will be joining us today. We will start with Armir Kenshin. He leads the Rural Center Small Business Credit Initiatives, which includes Corner Square Community Capital. Prior to joining the Rural Center, he was a member of Self-Help's executive team, where he was responsible for developing strategic partnerships and lending implementation of strategic priorities that drove growth and expansion. He has significant experience in working with CDFIs and has previously served as executive vice president at Self-Help, chief executive officer of Generations Community Credit Union, and board chair of Carolina Small Business Development Fund. Next, we'll hear from Jarrell Deaver, or Jay. He's the board member, audit committee, and board investment committee chair of Natural Capital Investment Fund. Jay is a retired commercial lender, last serving as senior vice president and manager of business banking at First Citizens Bank, where he led a team of business bankers in the 12 westernmost counties of North Carolina. A career banker, Jay's purpose is to help farmers and small business owners as they seek to nurture and protect the economic engines that provide livelihood to their families and communities. He's a mentor through UNCW's Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship and a native of Western North Carolina and a graduate of Mars Hill University, located in Madison County, North Carolina. We'll also be joined by Harold Pettigrew Jr., or HP. HP is WakeKip's CEO. He leads one of Washington, D.C.'s metropolitan area's leading community development financial institutions focused on access to capital products and services and capacity building technical assistance to low to moderate income entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs of color. Harold has spent his career in economic development with nearly 20 years of experience in small business development, venture capital investing, transportation and transit, workforce development, and public sector management. Prior to joining WakeKip, HP was the director of entrepreneurship at Prosperity Now, where he led the organization's national efforts to advance policies and programs that increases business success for low to moderate income micro business owners throughout the United States. I can go on and on for these three esteemed professionals, but let's go ahead and get started with our interview. I promise there's lots of great nuggets ahead. Let's get started. Okay, Armir, HP, and Jay, welcome to the CRA podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You're glad to be here.
Great. Absolutely. Thanks for the invitation.
Of course. I'm so excited to have you for today's episode and to share a very innovative program. Corner Square Community Capital is a new initiative that offers a long-term sustainable solution to support CDFIs, that's community development financial institutions that are newer to this world, working with small businesses at the local level. Armir, as executive director of CornerSquare, can you share the initial vision for the fund and how it became a reality? Yeah,
absolutely. And thank you again, Linda, for inviting us to this important conversation. We got started back in 2020 when Truist Bank came to us because they were concerned about the best way to get capital in the hands of communities that haven't, you know, had a lot of capital before, access to capital before. So primarily African-American communities, women-owned businesses, rural residents. They looked around and they saw that, for example, with their PPP loans, not much of those loans went to folks who really needed that capital. So they were concerned. And their CEO, Kelly King, is also a former board chair of the Rural Center. So we talked with him about what we could do to kind of help. And, you know, he thought that CDFIs was a really good solution to the problem, because CDFIs work with the population that we want to hit. You know, they work with people of color, with women, with rural communities, et cetera, et cetera. So we thought the best, option for us would be to work with CDFIs. So we had an existing program through SBCI, a Small Business Credit Initiative, where we participate in loans with banks in the state. So we really modeled CornerSquare after our LPP program. The only difference is that, you know, we wanted to work with the 17 states where Truist Bank has in their footprint. So working within their 17 states, we want to work with the CDFIs in those 17 states to do lending. And this is really a source for capital for them. So many CDFIs have a hard time getting capital. Like banks and credit unions can always go out and raise deposits, and it's easy to get capital, your bank or credit union. But for CDFI, it's not regulated and have deposits. They've got to work really, really hard for capital.
Yep.
So we can come with them and partner with them as they do deals, and 25% of their loan will take part of that in that loan with them. And that expands their capital. So, yes. You know, it's not a response to anything that was happening in 2020. Truist came to us, you know, well before any of the unrest happened, just concerned about expanding capital. And they envision this to be a long-term sustainability option for CDFIs. If we are always around, they can always come to us and help, you know, expand their capital. So it really is a way to get capital out to CDFIs. So those folks like Wakeup can go out and do the great work that they're doing. So we don't do direct lending, but we want to be a source of capital for them to go out and do all the things that they're doing. So that's how CornerSquare came into being back in 2020.
Great. Thanks so much for that context. And Armir, we're honored to have HP and Jay here with you today. So tell me a little bit more about them and their organizations, and tell me more about how you all work together to move your mission forward.
Well, again, we really are a non-factor. You know, we're going to help them do their work. So Wakeup, for example, they've been around. They do great work in the Washington, D.C. area. And so we went to them and said, we want you to be a part of our network because we realize the work that you're doing to get capital out. So we really need you all to be a part of our network. So they agreed to join our network along with five other CDFIs across the country. And so we seek partners. Same thing with NCI Fund. Now we work with them for a while already. They do lending in North Carolina, and they do a great job getting capital out. And, you know, we work very closely with Martin Jenkins, who's the CEO over there. Great organization. So we've known him before. So we asked them if they would help us with this as well. Because, again, we're a non-story. You know, the story is if we can get capital to people who need it to go do great work. So, you know, we want to be in the background. No one sees us, and just be a way for them to get more capital to expand what they're doing. So, you know, Martin and HP both agreed to join our network, which we're so thankful for. And in fact, HP is helping us too to expand even further. So we've got to add a lot more partners. So he's agreed and has met with us several times to talk about how we can expand our partnership, because we want to reach deep down into these communities and not just at the surface. So, you know, thanks to HP and folks like him and Martin and Jay for helping us really move this capital. You know, we've got a great team behind us. Truist has an advisory team with senior folks on it, underwriting, marketing, senior executives. They help us as we go. So again, the story is not Corner Square. The story is getting loan capital to HP and to Martin and to CDFIs so they can go out and do the great work that they're doing.
Great. Okay. So JNHP, tell me what's most compelling, or in other words, what does Corner Square enable in our communities? Let's start with you, Jay.
Thanks, Linda. And thank you, Armir, for the nice words about NCI Fund. They really enable at least two things. One, it's just what Armir said. They're a supplement to a CDFI's capital. So a dollar of capital becomes more than a dollar of capital because Corner Square will come in and buy a portion of the loan. That enables one of two things. One, a CDFI can take on larger transactions and projects that may have previously bumped against a ceiling they had because Corner Square will buy down part of their exposure. So you can take on a larger transaction, or you can take on more transactions because you have exponentially more capital. Your dollar becomes 80 cents or 75 cents once Armir's group buys part of your loan down. So you can do more. I guess in short answer to that is you can do more. The other thing they enable, and I want to be really careful how to communicate this in the right way, they allow for an incremental uptick, not a spike, but an incremental uptick in the amount of risk that you're willing to take on in a transaction. We all face those transactions and loan decisions where we believe in the concept of the company, we believe in the people, we believe in everything, but the dollar to risk ratio is just a little out of our comfort zone. And when you can share the risk, when Corner Square buys a portion of your loan and shares part of that risk, all of a sudden some of those on the line transactions, you're able to make those where you weren't able to make those before. And, you know, historically speaking, those are in the communities that need that capital the most.
Right. So shares risk and leverages capital.
Yep.
Wow. Powerful. Okay. How about you, HP?
And thank you, Linda, as well. Not only an important conversation, but a timely one. I couldn't have framed it better than what Jay actually did. I do have to start my comments though out with disagreeing with Armir, because the <Uh-oh. laughs> this initiative and Corner Square, these are the type of bold, big solutions that we need in the industry. I think it's certainly not a non-story, but hopefully a story that influences in a much greater way across the country, because this is exactly what we need coming out of unprecedented times where we need unprecedented solutions. And these are the types of investments that, frankly, we need to have in the industry so that we can deepen our work, so that we can expand our work. And so we're excited because from the very beginning with Armir's energy and direction, but even the energy of his team, you know, for us, we've been excited to be a part and not only thinking through the ways that we can benefit, but to Armir's point, ways that we can help get more CDFIs connected across the country. Because we know some of the issues that we face and the solutions that we need are needed across the country. And so exactly to Jay's point, what we've primarily been excited around is exactly the points mentioned, specifically the ability for us to have greater liquidity so that we can go after more opportunities. We're embedded in the community throughout the district, throughout the district, meaning the District of Columbia and the region. And we're consistently looking for ways that we can expand our lending to the communities that need it most. And for us, what that does represent is communities of color. In 2018, 100% of our lending was to entrepreneurs of color. 2019, 96%. Right now, even with PPP, over 80% of our applications are from entrepreneurs of color. You know, and so we put our flag in the ground, and we're just grateful to have partners like Corner Square that are there with us along the journey.
That is phenomenal. Thank you for that. You know, I'm on a mission to, you know, really elevate CDFIs as a true powerful partner to banks. Because, you know, I tell my bankers all the time, it's the year of the CDFI. You must go out and find them. If you don't have a relationship, go today. Anyway, I'm just so passionate about all the work that you're doing. And the most powerful relationships are are collaboratives like this, right, where you're able to leverage capital, share risks. It's the reason why CDFIs were created. So, okay, Armier, so what are the one or two immediate priorities that you are really focusing on for Corner Square's growth and impact? There must be so many different directions for you to go, but what's one or two that you're focusing on first?
Great question. Let me just say that, you know, HP is a great addition to the Corner Square family. Because you see how easy he disagrees with me so easily? So he's a perfect. He's right in with Julia and with Anna Taft. And seriously, though, that's a great question, Linda. Our number one priority in following in the same vein that HP talked about is increasing the number of borrowers, people of color. So, you know, these funds are committed to expanding capital to people of color, primarily, also to women. And so number one priority is to make sure that we serve that community effectively. And that means we've got to really hit some places that we haven't hit before. And so right now we're struggling with the balance between, you know, strong established CDFIs such as WakeShift and NCI Fund and some of the new and emerging CDFIs as well who really hit some of their communities. So right now our number one priority is trying to get the message out. And folks are so distracted right now. There's so many other things happening right now in the community with this PPP, the CDFI world. It's really saturated with news. So, you know, this is why this podcast is so important for us, because we need to get the word out that we have, you know, we have great resource to help them do their work. So number one priority is to expand access to people of color and also to really get the word out about who we are and what we're trying to do. Because, again, we're not successful unless CDFIs are using our fund and are using our fund to make loans that impact people's lives.
Right. And you're starting in a certain region, but you're ready to, you then will expand, right?
Yeah, so we've got a pretty good coverage now in the 17 states. But again, in the states are so big, so we need more CDFIs because some of these states are huge. Think of Texas, think of, you know, Florida. You know, these are huge states. And so we need more than one partner to be effective. So those are our top priorities right now.
Yeah, we have a lot more work to do. Okay, so HP&J, I know this is a newer initiative. Do you have any impact stories that you can actually share so far to date that are related to this work, Corner Square, or very similar? HP, would you like to start?
Sure. And to some of the points that Armier mentioned, right before I get to that, Linda, what is key here to note is that we have long-term solutions in place. You know, right now there is a lot of opportunities and funding coming out from the federal government and other points. And as you mentioned, now is a bit of a time for CDFIs. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us to not only lay the groundwork of educating as many banks and folks that work at banks as possible on the power of CDFIs, but also to think through long-term solutions. And that's where I think this initiative with Corner Square, because it's not just the next 12 months, you know, we're talking about the future and solutions being available. And I think that's an important point to note, not only its innovation in the short term, but its sustainability in the long term, because those are some of the things that we have begun to plan our business modeling around as we're projecting out for the remainder of this year, coming into next year and beyond. How do we leverage these types of tools as demand is growing for our products and services? So from an impact standpoint, it's very much outlining what's to come. Right now, the economy is reopening, and we're gearing up now as we're getting requests from businesses that are coming to us, where we're going to be taking advantage very soon of this initiative. Because one of the things that we do see is across all sectors, from food to childcare, restaurants to contractors, there's a pent-up demand because of the economic conditions created due to the pandemic. And so now we have economic activity returning and an increased pipeline. And so for all the benefits of this initiative that we talked about a little earlier, we're going to look to leverage the leverage Corner Square to make sure that we can meet the demand.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. And Jay, do you have more impact and examples to share?
Yes, I do. Thanks. I recall vividly the announcement for Corner Square. I recall the Truist press release in September, I believe, and was so pleased to see that. And then it was only a couple of months later, I think February, we had, NCI Fund had its first request in loan committee that was a partnership with Corner Square. And I was very pleased that it was happening that quickly. I was surprised and impressed that it was happening. Uh-huh. That quickly. I don't remember if this specific loan is the first one that came, because I know we've done several, but we've got a client in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, that is, to the best of our knowledge, the only Black-owned winery, vineyard, wine bar. And they had an opportunity to buy a dilapidated building down the street. So, and obviously, we're always about reclaiming old buildings. This building, it was about a $700,000 request, and we partnered with Corner Square. The building allows them to do many things. It allows them to significantly get into wholesale and distribution. This particular company is only sells and serves North Carolina-based products of cheese and wine and meat, which is really cool in and of itself. But they, with this growth, they'll have a larger space. They will initiate an internship program with Winston-Salem State University, which is a traditional Black university, primarily Black university. And I think I may have mentioned their wholesale distribution will just be exponentially higher. They'll probably double their employment between 2020 to 2022. So it was just a phenomenal opportunity for, yes, for them, for us, for Corner Square to partner together and make something good happen.
Awesome. And wine and cheese. Hello. I'm right there. I love that. Awesome. Well, as you all know, I'm on that mission to inspire more banks and CDFI partnerships, as these partnerships are really catalytic to this community development impact work in disadvantaged communities. And quite frankly, it's more fun and meaningful, right, to do this all together. So I'm just so excited to hear about this. So tell me more about the unique ways that you have partnered with banks to further your individual CDFI's mission. I really want you to think beyond just serving on a board or serving on a committee, which is very important, right, to share your expertise, but some of the kind of next level ways or less common ways to partner. I really want to be able to spotlight that so bankers can learn more about the range of options that's available to them in partnering with CDFIs. Let's see. HB, do you want to start?
Sure. Happy to, Linda. And, you know, so I think that the way I always like to answer that question is first laying out the fuller framework of lending. You know, it's most easiest to understand lending capital, and that's often what banks most clearly understand. But the fuller spectrum of what lending involves is a couple of different products and solutions. When we look at guarantees, when we look at loan losses, when we look at participations, there's different ways that we can apply creative solutions in partnerships with banks that can further our lending. Naturally, as a CDFI, we're always looking for equity. And so we partnered in strategic ways to make sure we have equity on our balance sheet so that we can take on more debt, yep, and be creative in that way. And so there's a number of solutions that could be brought to bear. Typically, My first question to banks is always, you know, tell us what you're typically looking to do, what resources you have to put towards it.
Okay.
We'll help you craft the right solution and to make sure, you know, wherever your geographic focus is across the country, that we put the right partnerships in place so that you can meet those goals.
Great response. So are you getting kind of like cold calls out of the blue from banks lately? Are we there yet?
not quite there yet.
Okay, darn it. I'll work on that.
That's right.
Okay, we could all hope. Okay, Jay, tell us a little bit more about some of other ways that people might partner with you.
I like what HP said about engaging with bankers and, you know, what is it you're trying to accomplish and let us help you. Similar to that, at our most recent renewal of our strategic plan, we engaged some of our bank partners. We asked them to have input. And that does a couple of things. That informs us, but it also invests them in the success of the plan. So I was really happy to see us do that. We partner with banks in ways sometimes they don't recognize. We de-risk market sectors. A good example of this is the brewery industry. 5 or 6 years ago, you did not see banks playing actively in breweries. You saw CDFIs doing that. Breweries are our second largest asset class still. And most of our brewery loans get paid off by bank refinance, not by amortization out. On a larger scale, breweries are an example. On a smaller scale, in West Virginia, there are a series of ATV trails throughout the state. It's an economic engine for that state. And they discovered upon very intentionally creating these ATV trails that they did not have capacity. They didn't have housing. They didn't have food. They didn't have hospitality infrastructure. And NCI Fund specifically funded a lot of that. Which is now being refinanced by banks. So we took the first step. There you go. We filled our role, and now these companies are graduating to being bankable. That's a partnership that maybe isn't obvious on the front end, but on the back end, you can turn around and say, "Wow, we helped them. They help us, obviously, in many, many ways." But it's a good symbiotic relationship.
Absolutely. And that's the whole reason CDFIs were created, right? To do things that banks couldn't do due to their regulatory constraints. So let's de-risk, let's understand new markets, and then let's never compete, but let's de-risk and then hand off, right? So powerful. Great. Well, Armir, so to wrap up this section, what are some of your hopes and dreams for this initiative? You know, another way to say this is, what keeps you inspired day after day and after a long day and standing up a new startup and a new venture?
That's a great question. So one of the loans that we did with NCI Fund, actually was our very first loan. We worked with a borrower in West Virginia. And I bring this up because it's just in response to Jay's talk about the trail system. We funded someone who took some housing to convert it into lodging for folks to use when they visit the Hatfield-McCoy Trail system. The Hatfield-McCoy Trail is in a very depressed area of West Virginia, where it was coal country, and now it's been really no investments have been made for quite a long time. It's coming back now, you know, thanks to NCI Fund, and they do a lot of good lending in this area as well in terms of ecotourism. So we're excited about that. But the Hatfield-McCoy Trail is a very important part of the ecosystem in West Virginia. And we made a loan with NCI Fund back in December. And the young lady that we, lent the money to, she said that when you hear the trail riders coming to town and the beautiful roar, it's the sound of the economy coming back. So it's not just the sound of the war, but it's the sound of the whole economy coming back to life. And that's what inspires me, because, those people need jobs. They need to be able to take care of their families. And it's just a great thing to be able to provide capital to people so they can have their livelihood back. Nothing excites me more. That's just a great quote, a great story, a great example of partnership, and a great way we can partner with banks. So that's what motivates me, right? People who, it's not just about money. It's about people's lives. In many cases, it's life or death. So I'm just excited to be a part of something like that, where we can help bring back the whole economy to folks who really need it. So that's what excites me the most. And despite this hard work that we do, but those kinds of stories give us all, keep us going.
Yeah, the roar of an economy coming back. Oh, I could feel it. That's just brilliant and impactful and wonderful. Okay, is there anything I didn't cover that we might want to revisit from before we wrap up with our lighter note comments?
Only thing I was wondering, and Armira, you kind of hit on this, but I don't know if it's a stated point as of yet. Are you guys looking to attract other banks to invest in?
Well, that's a great
I'm presuming yes, but it may need to be more clearly stated.
Are you ready? Yeah, are you ready for that?
Yeah. And are you ready?
Yeah. Thanks, HP. That is so important. So thank God you raised it. Yes, I mean, that's the whole point. You know, the money we got from Truist is just a drop in the bucket. I mean, we're so thankful. But the need is so large that we need more investment. So right now, and this is something that HP has been so helpful on, is we're trying to affect the entire ecosystem. If we can find other partners to help us leverage what we've got already and build this thing out, there's so many other needs that we've got. So, you know, capital is one need, but there's human capital, there's technology, there's all kinds of things that our sector needs. Yeah. So yes, we definitely desperately need to partner with other banks to help plug in to what we're building right now. This could be the year of the CDFI, like you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, Linda, which mm-hmm. is so exciting. You know, we're in a place, yeah. I don't know, HP and Jay know more than I do about this, but I don't know that we've seen these kinds of opportunities before for CDFIs come at the same time. So let's make sure we leverage all of them and build something that's sustainable. Back to HP's word, you know, we want to be sustainable for decades to come. So absolutely. We can't do that without more bank capital. So yeah. Again, it's something that HP is working on very hard right now, is how do we leverage more dollars to impact this work, because the need is so large. So yes, we are in those conversations now and having those discussions with banks. We hope that we can have some good news as we go forward.
Great. Yeah, let's not call it the year of the CDFI. Let's call it the decade.
Okay. I knew you were going
there. Let's keep it rolling. And beyond.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me say, and I'm a career banker, and most of that time I was in business lending or managing business lenders. And I came into contact with NCI Fund about 8 years ago. To me, it is so obvious and natural that when you're trying to create or keep a client and there's a credit need that you can't do, but you can seamlessly, tactfully hand the credit need off to NCI Fund or another CDFI, and you can maintain the integrity of the relationship. You don't lose them to another bank who's got a different risk profile than you do on the credit.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a win-win. And as I'm pointing a finger at banks and bankers, and I'm one of them, I'm right in the middle of it. I don't understand why that doesn't happen more often.
Yes.
And you know, so often I can call on a banker and just touch base. How's it going? Have you thought about us lately? Well, you know, I have this thing. I'm having trouble getting through my credit team. Right. And it's a good deal, I think. But there's always that deal. There's always that deal, but they're not putting two and two together in terms of they can help me.
Yeah.
I wish I could wave a wand and get more bankers to understand, more frontline, client-facing bankers.
Yes, yes.
CDFI is your friend.
Absolutely. And I do training sometimes in banks with the commercial loan officers and say, have you heard of CDFIs? Here they are. They de-risk. They can take a first position loss, you know, or, you know, there's just so many opportunities to partner. They're like, who are these people? You know, what is it? Where have they been? Right. It's all about education, because I don't think that they don't want to. I just don't think that they haven't had that range of experience yet. So that's why we need to get out more. I think we need to get on the road and go talk to more community bankers, right? And the commercial lenders of the world, and spread the news there. So I'll work on that too. We'll find a way, but we need to keep moving that forward. Great. Thank you for adding that. Okay. So now to wrap this all up on a lighter and reflective note, I'm really interested in what drives you to do this work. Tell me more, each of you, what really is in this for you, and why do you keep working these long hours and keep doing this great work in your local communities? Armir, I'll start with you.
Wow. Well, thank you, Linda. It's just very personal for me. You know, growing up in a community like the one that we serve, I mean, a very, you know, poor community with a single mother. You know, there was lots of things that were against us, lots of obstacles. And, you know, thank God we had some help along the way. I wouldn't have made it. So that's why I do what I do, because somebody helped me along the way. For my son all the time, you know, don't think that you're going to make it and be successful without help. I don't care how smart you are, how talented you are, you need someone to help you. So yeah. I had people along the way who helped me out and because they wanted to help me. So that's why I do what I do, because I remember where I came from, yeah. and I want to make sure I can help as many folks as possible make it out. So it's a personal thing.
Beautiful. All right. Jay, tell me more about your journey here.
It's personal as well. I grew up in Appalachia, and NCI Fund roots and focus are Appalachia. My grandfather was a tobacco farmer. It's the only job he ever had. And I witnessed the dissolution of that industry and the impact that had on people I knew. We lived in a community that was severely impacted by NAFTA. 20% of the job base went away in 1 year from textile closing. So for the tobacco economy in Western North Carolina, way back when, there wasn't a safety net. For the NAFTA economy after effects, the CDFI world had begun and started. And so, yeah, what Armir said, you need help. And as a career banker, I can be critical of the industry and note that it's moving out of rural America. And there, you don't have a bank on every corner in every small town with someone trying to find a ways to put capital on the street. And we are. So I think that's very important and impactful. And for me, it feels silly sometimes, but I've never lost my childhood almost adoration of that process of a person has an idea and they turn that idea into a product or a service and they go to market and market accepts it and they sell it and they have more money at the end of the day than where they started. And that's just cool. Everybody should have that level of economic opportunity.
Yes.
And CDFIs are meeting that need in places where there is a real need to do that. So it's great. This is the hardest work that is easiest to love that I've ever done.
Oh, wow. That's a great quote. Beautiful. HP, tell me more.
And I feel like I got to close out the trifecta of it being personal.
No pressure.
That's right. And Jay, I may take what you just said at the end, the hardest work, but the most benefit and gift, certainly. You know, for me, Linda, this is home. I'm a born and bred Washingtonian, native Washingtonian. And the work that we do, I often note, you know, there's a thin line of what's personal and professional. This is my life's work, and that's how I treat it. The communities that we invest in are areas of the city that I remember as a kid, just growing up here. And my office is maybe 3 miles away from my high school. And so it's important for me to know that I'm having impact at home, that as part of my life's work, that we're impacting the lives of people. And often when folks try to understand what we do, and when you strip away the articulations, simply put, we invest in people. It's not a brick and mortar. It's not a business. We're investing in people to create and to grow their dreams. And that's the simplest form of what we do. It's, you know, from the banking to financing and those sort of things, you strip it all away. That's what we do. And so it's a pleasure for me. It's an honor for me being in this seat, particularly looking over WakeUp's history. WakeUp's been around for 34 years now, almost 35 years. And looking at its history, you know, there's parts of my life that I can chart as well. When I came on board 5 years ago, looking at the history of investment of this institution, my father dealt with substance abuse. And the place that my father stayed to kick his abuse, WakeUp funded. Wow. And so it's a powerful narrative for me, powerful narrative for me to be able to know that how we invest, what we do, and what we have done for decades as an impact institution, that we're having tangible effect on people's lives.
Wow, this is home. This is home. We invest in people. So, so powerful, you all.
Again, I want to say thanks. Thanks to you, Linda. This is so great. And I also want to say thanks to Jay and to HP because, you know, without WakeUp and NCI Fund, I don't know where we'd be. So taking a chance, this is a new initiative, and they're wholeheartedly behind us. So And I'm so grateful for what you both do and what NCI Fund has done and what Wake Up is doing. I couldn't thank you enough. And thank you too, Linda.
Oh, it's my pleasure. The pleasure was mine for sure. Thank you so much for taking the time to share the Corner Square initiative and all of your hard work and fighting the good fight for equity and inclusion in our most precious communities and those communities that we all each call home. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Absolutely.
Great work.
Well, that's a wrap. I hope you found this episode inspiring, and my sincere hope is that you find one simple concept or tip to take back to your work to elevate our collective commitment to our local communities. And if you are a banker responsible for a portion of the CRA program, or you are the CRA officer, you may want to consider joining the CRA Hub. You will join your colleagues in weekly activities to take a deeper dive into community development concepts and best practices. Check out cratoday.com/hub to learn more. Until the next CRA podcast episode, take care of you and yours. Bye for now.